Unto You, a Christmas Sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The angel can tell those shepherds and tell us, this child has been born unto you. This child has been born for you.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2011.
If you stop and think about what the typical 15, 14-year-old girl would have done when presented with, albeit an angelic message, that she is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, what is, you don't have to read too much back into this. What would any young girl think first when faced with that news? She would think, how am I going to tell mom and dad? Now, in this case, Mary is betrothed to Joseph, so she has a fiancé. So she must also be thinking, how am I going to tell Joseph? Anxiety-inducing really is an understatement here. And yet this young virgin, Mary, says, let it be to me according to your word. I am a handmaiden of the Lord. We're going to talk about the faith of Mary, the mother of Jesus, for the next half hour of Issues, etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, the 21st of December. Sandra Ostapowicz joins us. She's conference and retreat coordinator for Higher Things. She's studying for a PhD in missiology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and author of an article in a recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled The Thing About Mary. Sandra, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
What stands out to you the most about the faith of the Virgin Mary?
What stands out to me most is that she is always receiving, that she's open to receive and takes whatever the Lord gives her as a gift, no matter what it is, no matter how crazy and impossible it seems. She's pretty much unflappable. This angel appears and says, oh, by the way, you're going to be pregnant. And oh, it's not just any baby. It's going to be the Son of God. And she doesn't freak out. She doesn't have a conniption. She doesn't run around and tell her parents or her friends or anyone really right away. She says, okay, so you say, amen. There it is. That's just amazing. That's faith. That's receiving everything from God as a gift.
Now, how would you have reacted at 15? Which is, she's probably 15, 16 years old, to not only to the appearance of the angel, but to the prospect and the reality that you are pregnant, period, not much less the Son of God.
Oh, gosh, yeah, even especially in her time, what we know about, you know, the culture, that a woman pregnant out of wedlock, holy cow, I mean, here, it's normal. You even go to junior high and see girls pregnant. It's just unbelievable how normal it has become for our society. But back then, for a girl to become pregnant outside of marriage was a huge scandal. And for it to not be the man that she's betrothed to, her fiancé, her husband, technically, legally, I mean, that's something that she can be dragged out of the town by her hair, thrown into a pit, and have rocks thrown at her until she's dead. I mean, this is a serious offense. I mean, scary stuff. It's not just a minor, oh, I got a plus on the stick. This is a huge deal for someone in her culture. And I don't know how I would have reacted to it. Certainly not with the grace that she showed.
As you say in the article, it doesn't stop there with the Annunciation. I mean, at the other end of her pregnancy, she's 9 months along. She's ready to give birth, and they got to pick up and leave.
Oh yeah, road trip time. we have to take a trip. We have to go to Bethlehem, which is, you know, a good journey for anyone, much less someone who's that close to giving birth. And they get there, and of course, her water breaks and she goes into labor, and the town's full. There's nothing. Her husband can't find them anywhere to stay. He finds a stall in a barn. I mean, nice accommodations there for you know, your vacation, much less somewhere where you're going to give birth, not exactly sanitary. And she doesn't complain. She doesn't berate him. She doesn't, you know, do any of those things that, you know, most wives today would do, much less a pregnant woman who's liable to say and do things that are not exactly the kindest things in the world because of, you know, the agony of labor. And none of that. None of that. She just, okay, this is the way it is. This is wonderful. This is where my son is going to be born.
I was thinking about this the other day. At certain points, and actually there's more to the story that we'll get to in just a minute, but at certain points it says she pondered all these things in her heart. I always picture her just kind of there with this very serene look on her face, looking down at the baby and just kind of mulling things over in complete peace and serenity. But, I mean, even a woman of such faith had to have been troubled by the circumstances at the human level.
I would think so. Yeah, I mean, she was a person just like the rest of us. I'm sure she had to have been. But it would appear that her faith kind of took over and gave her that peace and gave her that quietness that, for women especially, is exemplary of who we are in Christ. That it's, you know, not to get into a separate issue here, but, you know, the Bible talks about how women, our beauty is in quietness and in peacefulness. And I think Mary just really exemplifies that by having such grace under pressure.
Can it be summed up in the kind of terms of faith that Luther was fond of? Because he likes to talk about faith as reception, as pure receiving, not as giving or as exchanging, but as the empty hand that is filled by God and his grace. Can it be summed up that Mary, in this miraculous gift of faith that she's given, simply takes what is given to her all along the way?
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's the key thing, that's faith. I mean, it's not Mary so much as she's the one who's exercising it at that point, but that's what faith does. Faith receives all these things from God, no matter how crazy and how strange it appears, and no matter how scared and worried we are deep down inside, faith, which comes from outside of us, is not something we find within ourselves. Faith receives that. And gives us then that peace and that comfort that God really is doing something for our good here.
As I said before, it doesn't stop. With Mary, she raises this child. Joseph is soon out of the picture. But soon he is engaging in his public ministry. He is being plotted against. She could probably, as a concerned mother, see where all of this is heading. He's eventually arrested, he's tried, he's brutalized, and then she finds herself at the foot of the cross. Talk about that.
Oh, yeah, it more there. I mean, even, you know, at the beginning, you know, a sword will pierce her soul, and there it's happening. Her baby, the child that she bore and has raised and loves, like a mother loves her child, is now had all these horrible things said about him, had these atrocious things done to him, and he's dying on the cross. And she's still not freaking out. She's there, and she's probably the first Christian. She knows who he is. She knows what he is there to do. She's not questioning it. She's not, she probably is dumped somewhere deep inside, but she's not expressing those. She understands, and by faith receives even that as a gift for us in Christ.
You say that the thing about Mary is that all along it never really is about Mary at all. What do you mean?
Well, this time of year, there's always those discussions about Mary and how wonderful it is that, you know, she bore Christ, and, you know, she had the Son of God in her womb and nursed him at her breast, and that's wonderful. Don't get me wrong. I think that's amazing that Jesus himself would have a mother, that God would have a mother is just inconceivable. But the thing about Mary is not that she had a womb or had breasts or had a baby. But I think what's exemplary for us in Mary is her faith, that she received all these crazy things and received Christ and all that he had done for her or would do for her, depending on what point in your life or her life that we're talking about, that it was all just faith receiving from God. And I think that's what's key to remember about Mary.
You said a minute ago, and this really runs against the grain of so much of how Christians sometimes think about faith, their faith. You said a minute ago that it is a pure gift. It is not something that we find in ourselves or work up in ourselves, but something that God gives us from the outside. Why is that so important with about a minute before our break?
Well, there's so many things that happen in our lives that we just can't get past. Horrible things that happen, or a day doesn't go the right way, or you know, something goes wrong, and Jesus died, big deal. Or, you know, God's in control. Well, we get to a point where we say, I just can't believe that. I just don't believe that. I just can't. But that's okay, because we don't have to. Faith is not from ourselves. Faith is coming to us from outside of us by the Holy Spirit. And it's outside of us that we know what is going on, what is happening for us in Christ, and receiving that as gift. It's not something we have to look inside of ourselves to know that it's there, because when we do that, all we're going to find is doubt and fear and mistrust and all sorts of horrible things. But when we look outside of ourselves to what is going on with us in Christ, then we can really see what faith is doing.
Sandra Ostapowicz is our guest. We're talking about the faith of Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's Wednesday afternoon, the 21st of December. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, and our Twitter address at issuesetc.
It's the most wonderful time.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell.
Tired of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, sacred music for the Christmas season. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio. Sacred music for the Christmas season. Coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Theology for blue collar, white collar, and clerical collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Just in time for the Christmas season, we have a special church bulletin insert for Issues Etc. and our new sacred music station, Lutheran Public Radio. Just go to the support page at issuesetc.org, download, print, and make copies of the Christmas programming bulletin insert. The bulletin insert can be used for the weekends of December 17th and 24th. Talk radio and sacred music for the Christmas season, issuesetc.org, and click support.
Merry Christmas!
And in those days, a decree went out from Caesar. Oh, hello there. Welcome to my beach house.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
This year, I'm escaping cold weather and spending Christmas in sunny Pensacola, Florida. And of course, I prefer Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Emmanuel Lutheran invites you to join us for Wednesday Advent services at 7 p.m., Christmas Eve candlelight service at 7 p.m., and Christmas Day divine service at 10 a.m. Normal Sunday divine services at 8 and 10:30.
Merry Christmas, Fröhliche Weihnachten, und stay Lutheran, my friends.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking with Sandra Ostapowicz about the faith of Mary, the mother of Jesus. In the second hour of the program, Terry Mattingly will be our guest. We'll talk about media coverage of the Christmas season. Then Conrad Hackett will join us from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. We'll talk about a new report he's worked on global Christian population. Dr. Albert Culver will join us right after that in order to analyze some of what we hear in that report. That'll bring us to the end of our program. Sandra, you're the conference and retreat coordinator for the Lutheran youth organization called Higher Things. Tell us a little bit about next summer's conferences.
Well, next summer we are going to be having four conferences under the theme of 12, which kind of has to do with 2012. 12 is the number of the church. It's the number of the apostles, the Old Testament tribes. It's all about the church and the end times, kind of working the whole 2012 Mayan calendar thing in there as well. We're going to be having four conferences, like I said. The first one is June 26th through 29th at Wake Forest University in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. The following week, July 3rd through 6th, will be at Northwest Missouri State in Maryville, Missouri. The week after that, we're going back to Concordia University in Irvine, California, July 10th through 13th. And then we are going up to Canada to our first Canadian conference. We've had a couple of retreats up there, but we're having a conference at Brock University in St. Catharines, Ontario. The following week after that, what is that, July 17th through 21st, I believe. And so there's more information about the conferences. Registration is open and coming in. First deadline for early bird registrations is next week, December 31st. Prices will go up after that. More information is available at higherthings.org, www.higherthings.org, or www.12ht.org will be specifically conference information.
Folks, we're going to post a link to the upcoming busy Summer of Higher Things conferences at issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page. All right, Sandra, let's talk a little bit about, you've said before that something that the word you've used is exemplary, and we have a hard time with this, taking others as an example, although Paul urges us to consider him an example. The church throughout its history has held up the New Testament saints, the Old Testament saints, and saints from after the New Testament era as examples. In what way is Mary an example, not only to women, but to all of us?
Well, she's an example in that it sounds kind of funny. She's an example in that it's never about her. It's never about what she's going through or what she's done or what she's had happened to her, but it's all about Jesus for her. She doesn't want us talking about her. Jesus doesn't even want us talking about her. He says that in Luke, you know, when someone cries out, you know, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you. And he says, you know, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That it's not about her. And for her, it isn't. It's about Jesus. And it's about what he's done and is doing for all of us, and especially, you know, for her. And how she focuses on that. And her faith is completely out of that, out of Christ. That is something that is a model for the rest of us, that when we go through all the different trials in our lives and things that happen to us, you know, we can see, okay, when it happened to Mary, she didn't get caught up on it. It was about Christ and what about what he had done. And so it all fits together then when our faith is outside of us and it's in Christ and not in what we see and what we're experiencing at the moment.
There's a kind of irony here that, at least for Mary, and this is unique to her. I mean, entirely unique to her because she's the only one who bore Christ in her womb, in his divine and human nature. When she looks outside herself to that Christ where her faith is founded, at least for those 9 months, she's looking inside herself, but not to herself.
That's true. That's true. I never really thought of it that way. You know, if anyone could really navel gaze, you know, and have anything productive come from it, I suppose it was Mary with her belly button popping out, with pregnant with Jesus in there. But yeah, while she was looking inside of herself with her growing belly, it was still outside of herself to someone else.
Real quickly. She refers to this baby in her great song, that song that can only be, it's just the epitome of faith, as my God, my Savior, even with the great faith for which she is an example to us, is Mary still a sinner who needs Jesus just as much as the rest of us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. She was, she is, and she's that. If she wasn't a sinner, she wouldn't have needed faith. And she clearly did, and she had faith. She had great faith. I don't know what kind of sins she had. I really don't care. I know she had them because she died, and she was a person just like the rest of us, and we will die too because we are sinners. And she needed a Savior, and she knew she needed a Savior. And what was so cool for her is that she actually got to give birth to her Savior, to God, and to know who he was from the very first seconds of his life on earth. And that's just amazing. What a lucky woman she was.
So when we gather here in the next couple of days, and either through the nativity scene or the kids' Christmas program, the pastor's preaching, the liturgy of the Christmas celebration, we gaze in and see Mary with her baby. Is Mary even then pointing us to Jesus and not to herself?
Of course. I mean, she's holding the baby, or the baby's in the manger, but it's we're not there because of Mary. We're not at the pageant or in church or any of those things because of Mary. We're there because of Jesus. And she's part of the story. She's a really important part of the story. But it's about Jesus and who he is and who that baby grows up to be, and what he does for us is what it's really about. And she knows that. And, you know, at the end of the day, she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And I think that's just really beautiful.
Sandra Ostapowicz is conference and retreat coordinator for Higher Things. She's studying for her PhD in missiology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And she's authored an article in the recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled The Thing About Mary. Sandra, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Folks, at the last count, we are currently a little more than $16,000 short of making budget for 2011. We have 10 days, I believe, left in the year. As you consider your year-end giving, please consider making a year-end gift to support the worldwide outreach of issues, etc. No contribution is ever too small. For any size year-end donation, we'll send you a CD of two sermons that I preached, one on Christmas and the other on the baptism of Jesus. You can make a secure online gift at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. That's LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us at the end of the year. In the second hour of the program, we're going to start off with Terry Mattingly. He has some interesting things to say about some coverage of Christmas that he has been following lately, and you're going to want to stick around and see what he has to say. Also, he raises an interesting question in a recent Scripps Howard column, On Religion column, and that is, when does Christmas actually begin? For the world, for the culture, it's sometime around Thanksgiving. And it ends sometime during the day on December 25th, maybe at midnight, December 25th, if you go that late. Now, for the church, traditionally, historically, Christmas has started on December 25th and gone 12 days. Sad to say, for Pop American Christianity, which pattern are they following? The church's historic pattern of celebrating Christmas, when Christmas actually occurs, or the world's way of celebrating Christmas? We'll find out on the other side of the break in hour two of Issues, etc. Then Conrad Hackett will join us from the Pew Forum on Religion and Public Life. We'll talk about a new report on the global Christian population. Dr. Al Culver, Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Center, will join us right after that to analyze some of that data. It's Wednesday afternoon, December the 21st, an hour two of Issues, etc. is straight ahead. Mary is like all the other saints. All those who died pointing to Christ, trusting in Christ, looking to Christ. She is unique in that she receives this great promise in her body through the conception by the Holy Spirit. She bears the God-man in her womb. She raises him, and she follows him all the way to the cross. So she is unique in that, being the mother of God. But in every other way, she is just like us. Saints made righteous by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Worthy of remembering and of following by way of example, only because of that gift of faith granted by sheer grace. Think about that for a moment. She has this baby in her womb, and she regards this baby as her Savior, although it is her body that nourishes him, and when she will raise him, it is she who will protect him and take care of him. He is still her Savior. He is still the object of her faith. I'm Todd Wilkin, Hour 2 in 7 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.